We certainly want to thank you for coming out and being with us today. Appreciate the fact of those that took over while I was out and Lynn was out with COVID. I am, I think, 17 pounds lighter, 16 pounds after the potluck last night, but a little bit lighter than I was when I was away from here over the past couple of weeks. We appreciate everything that was done, the prayers, cards, everything else during that time. Last week I was here. I was unable to preach because of my voice, still battling some. Last week was Mother's Day, and I have preached here the past 28 Mother's Days. So I had this one on the shelf from last week, so I just thought I'd go ahead and preach this today. One of the things we notice rather quickly is the fact of a father and a child, and especially a mother and a child. We see a child being born in that little drawing there, and how quickly they grow up. Looking out, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the Douglas family and Autumn, and about how far they've gone thus far, and still, it'll be the snap of a finger, and Lynette will be helping Autumn put on a wedding dress within a few years. But it'll go by so quickly. When we talk about a mother's love, one of the things I did when I was sick was I watched some old movies, some old gangster movies. And one of the things they would say in the gangster movie is, he has a face that only a mother would love. And I suppose that's true. In Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 8, Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 8, the writer says there in verse 8 here, my son, your father's instruction, do not forsake your mother's teaching. In Titus and in chapter 2 and in verses 3 and 4, Titus 2 and in verses 3 and 4, it says older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women who love their husbands, or to love their husbands, to love their children. Teaching about being a good mother, and teaching about the Word of God, what a mother is involved with. Some have no clue, though. Some, the Apostle Paul writes, are without natural affection. I picked this one out because this happened about the time that cable TV was starting to have its explosion with the news. There was a lady named Susan Smith. She was from Union, South Carolina. This is April. This is October the 25th, 1994. She was a young mother. She had two young boys. One boy named Michael, 3 years old. One boy named Alex, 14 months old. She led the police and the press for weeks concerning the fact that someone had taken her children. But the reality was that she had a boyfriend, and the boyfriend didn't want children around. So she strapped those two little boys in the back seat of her car. She accelerated the car as she jumped out. And that car went into a lake. And those two little boys were drowned. Now that's without natural affection. Many times in the Bible, we read this as well. One was when Solomon asked for wisdom, and this is really his first test of wisdom as to what he is going to do. This is found in 1 Kings and in chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 16 beginning. It says, then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. One woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a child while she was in the house, and it happened on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the child, only the two of us in the house. This woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead son in my bosom. Then I rose in the morning to nurse my son, and behold, he was dead. And when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, it was not my son whom I had borne. Then the other woman said, no, for the living one is my son and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, the dead one is your son and the living one is my son. And they spoke before the king. Then, of course, what was Solomon going to do with that wisdom that God had given him? It says in verse 23, the king said, the one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one. The other says, no, for your son is the dead one and my son is the living one. The king said, give me a sword. Give me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. The king said, divide the living child in two and give half of it to one and half to the other. And then the woman whose child was living spoke up before the king because she was deeply stirred over her son and said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, but by no means kill him. And the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him. And the king said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is the mother. The other, without natural affection. In 2 Kings, and in chapter 6, and in verse 24, beginning 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24, it says, and it came after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all the army and went up and besieged Samaria. We see what's happening. You talk about inflation today. Well, this was really inflation back then. But in verse 26 it says, and the king of Israel was passing by on the wall. A woman cried out to him and said, help me, O Lord King. And he said, if the Lord does not help you, from where shall I help you? From this threshing floor or from this wine press? And the king said to her, what is the matter with you? And she said, this woman said, give me your son that we may eat him today and we'll eat my son tomorrow. Without natural affection. Or Athaliah. Athaliah, she is queen. And to make sure she stays queen after her son after her son, the king, dies, she kills all of her grandchildren. We know something about grandchildren. A lot of people in here know something about grandchildren. Probably enjoy the grandchildren more than the children sometimes. But definitely, she was without natural affection. Very quickly here, just a talk about some people that knew something about a mother's love. One is Hannah. This is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 2, beginning 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 2. Said this man Elkanah, he had two wives. One was Hannah. One was Peninnah. She had children. Hannah had no children. In verse 4, the day came when Elkanah sacrificed. He would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. To Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed up her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed up her womb. We see in verse 11 beginning, she made a vow and said, "Oh, Lord of hosts, if you would look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, I will give your maidservant a son, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor will never come to his head." Eli thought she was drunk, thought she was drinking. In verse 15 it says, "And Hannah said, 'Oh, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink.'" But then we see the expression in the latter part of verse 15, "But I have poured out my soul before the Lord." I have poured out my soul before the Lord. She had an intense desire to be a mother. I've noticed over the past few years, a lot of young people that we've been acquainted with, we've watched them grow up with our children, maybe in different congregations. And these women, after they have been married for a number of years, they had an intense desire to be a mother. They wanted to be a mother so badly. And this was true of Hannah. And a mother will sacrifice for her children to the point that after he was weaned, he was given to the Lord. Jochebed, another one. In Exodus chapter 2, this is the story of Amram and Jochebed and Moses, Aaron and Miriam, the family, and what happened with Moses in the bulrushes, and how he was finally taken into Pharaoh's daughter's home. In Hebrews, and then chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 23. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. And he was not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, rather choosing to endure ill treatment with the people of God to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. How did he know? How did he know that those were his people? He was living in Pharaoh's daughter's home. Because evidently, his mother continued to take care of him. Continued to tell the stories to him. Continued to build up that commitment within that child. And that's what we need from mothers today. Eunice, in 2 Timothy and in chapter 1, and in verse 5, it says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith which within you, which first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it's within you as well." Mothers, they teach their children about faith. In chapter 3 and in verse 15. He says, "From that childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom, which leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." There's going to be Christians that are going to react a certain way. Last week I was getting a haircut. Got there, the barber wasn't there. The other barber said he's in traffic. He's probably going to be about 30 minutes late. I went over to the office supply store, needed to get some things. Came back, still wasn't there, but he called and said he was getting off the Waterston Expressway. He'd be there in 2 or 3 minutes. From the time that I got in that barber chair, I tell you what, he must have apologized to me 10 times. I told him, I said, "It's all right. No big deal. If this is the worst thing that happens to me today, today is going to be a very good day." And I asked him, I said, "You've apologized to me so many times. I said, you almost seem like a battered wife. Are there a lot of people that are mean to you and your profession?" And he said, "Now, over the last 2 or 3 years, probably half are mean. Probably half now are hateful for some reason." And I sure hope that's not children of God that are reacting that way over something simple like a haircut. She was faithful in teaching despite the fact that Timothy's father was not a Christian. He was a Greek. And then Mary. She treasured all these things in her heart. I have a wife like that. She'll say to me, "Do you remember when Taylor made this for us?" "No. I don't remember. I just don't remember." Well, Logan, when he got this cup, do you remember when Logan came home with this cup and he was so proud? No, I don't remember. I don't remember that at all. Very few things I remember about that. I can remember about them coming to me and telling me that Taylor needed braces that are going to cost $4,000. I remember that. A year before the wedding, she rolls over in her bed on her retainer. And then Lynn and Taylor come to me and say, well, Taylor's getting married next year, and her teeth are just a little bit off, so we're going to have to put $4,000 worth of braces back on her. I remember that. I remember about the fact that I'm saying, well, I'm spending another $4,000 for the photographer. Can't the photographer just change the teeth, you know? No. I remember the first day that my son drove to Seneca High School. Told him, I said, oh, Logan, I said, be sure and be careful. At 2:22 that afternoon, he calls me and says, I hit a lady in the parking lot. I remember that. But Mary, she treasured these things. In John chapter 19 and in verse 25. Really, verse 27. John 19, verse 27. He said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. She sees her son suffering. You've dealt with that with your children. It might be they didn't make a team. Might be they came in a lesser place than first place in something in elementary school. It might be a young lady that was so in love in high school with that boy, and that boy just didn't give her the time of day. And now you're sitting on her bed at night and trying to console her. This past couple of weeks, while I've had COVID, Lynn's cousin passed away. This is Ruth's sister's boy. I had had the funeral for the other one a couple of years ago. And because of COVID, we weren't able to make this one. But I tell you what, over all the funerals I've ever done, Rob will tell you the same thing. Whether that mother has a child that's newborn or like Lynn's Aunt Sue, whose son was 63, the mother has the same look. If her son's 80 and she's 100 years old, the mother will have the same look she had as if an infant child had died. And Mary had treasured all these things in her heart. Well, what should be our response to it? Well, not to overemphasize. A mother's love needs to be prioritized. We can't put a mother or a father above God. We can't put children before the Lord. The Lord should always have first place in our life. In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 37. Matthew 10 and in verse 37. It says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Then in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 19 through 21. Luke 8 verse 19 through 21. It says, and his mother and brothers came to him, and they weren't able to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. And he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. This is the special family that Jesus was starting to emphasize. A mother always deserves honor. Honor your father and your mother. In Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 2 and 3, honor your father and your mother. Then he adds to this, which is the first commandment with a promise. Well, what does that mean? Well, he gives us the answer in the next verse. So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. It knows no age limitation as far as honoring goes. Something different about obeying because you're out of the home and you have your own home set up. So there might be things that you disagree with regarding that, but as far as honor goes, we're always to honor our father and our mother. He says in Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 6, this is really the first recorded idea of institutionalism in its simplest form, really. But in Matthew 15 and in verses 1 through 6, it says that some of the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and your mother. And he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But I say to you, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have would help you has been given to God. In the older versions, or in the old King James version, it would say that you would tell them it is Corban. It is Corban. I have given, I have given all my money to the temple. I can't care for my mom or dad anymore because I've given all my money to the temple. Therefore, let the temple take care of my mother and father. A mother should be requited always. When he talks about witness indeed in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 4, he says there, if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in order to regard their family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable. This is acceptable in the sight of God. Considering all she has unselfishly done, it is right in the sight of God for her children to care for her. When they are grown, when she is old and in need. And of course, this is changed some. I mean, they weren't under a Social Security system back then or an insurance system back then. But still, it's taught in the New Testament that you care for your parents. A mother's love is only surpassed by the Father's love, God the Father. In 1 John and in chapter 3 and in verse 1. 1 John 3 and in verse 1, he says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Women who are not fit to be mothers still are loved by God and have the opportunity to repent and have the opportunity to still go to heaven. But the world can be a cold, uncaring place. Last slide, lessengers. In Mark and in chapter 10, Mark and in chapter 10, verse 28 beginning. Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left a house or brothers or sisters, a mother or father, or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, and that he will not receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, farms, along with persecutions, in this age, the age to come, eternal life. Many of you remember my friend Dallas, who comes from Tennessee every now and then and worships here with us. Dallas, a couple of years ago, told me he was up in Missouri. He was traveling through the air on Wednesday night, found a small church, not many churches up there in Missouri. Small church to worship with. He asked one of the men there, he said, would it be all right for me to sleep out in your parking lot tonight? And I'll just be on my way in the morning. And the man said, sure. Dallas was getting ready for the night. I think he had some beef jerky or something that he had to sustain himself until the next morning. All of a sudden, looks up to little old great-grandma. He said, "Yes, ma'am, can I help you?" He said, "They told me I could stay here all night." She said, "Oh, no, you're not." He said, "Well, they told me I could." She said, "No." She said, "You're coming home with us." He said, "Do what?" She said, "I have supper ready. You're going to have a good meal tonight. You're going to have a warm bed to sleep in tonight. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, you're going to have a full breakfast for you." Dallas is 80 years old. He said it was like having his mama or grandma there. Because Jesus says, that's what you're going to get. If you come to me, if you obey me, if you enjoy this relationship of obedience that I'm teaching you about, you're going to have a different family that loves you greatly. We'd encourage you, if you need to respond to the gospel in any way, to come right now while together we stand and we sing.